السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We now come to the last section in this biography of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله تعالى. And this is the final days, the last days of the life of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه. Umar Farooq رضي الله عنه, he was an exemplary khalif. Exemplary Khalif. He was just, faithful, a mujahid, pure, muttaqi, strong, amanatdar, meaning trustworthy, and he was an impregnable fortress for the Islamic nation. He was the door. Till that door was there, the fitan couldn't start. The door was Umar radiallahu anhu. He spent his entire term of being a khalif, not only when he was a khalif, from the time he accepted Islam, he spent his entire time in the service of Islam, the ummah. And when he became a khalif, then he took this responsibility even more serious. Every ummati is my responsibility. He was simultaneously the commander-in-chief of all the Muslim armies. Wherever they were, he was the commander-in-chief. Then, besides the battlefield, he was a faqih, what we would call like a mufti or something, right? So his ilm-e-deen also was of another level. Then he was also a qazi, was a fair judge. And then he was like a merciful and compassionate father for all his subjects, irrespective of their age and irrespective of their financial status. He didn't look at that. No, the rich people, then I'll be good to them. The poor people, I don't have any. No. Everyone, he was like a compassionate father to everybody. Then he was a sincere believer in Allah Ta'ala and in Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was an experienced and polished politician. Not this kind, today's times politicians. They are just liars and cheats and looters. Right? A true politician in the true sense of the word. He was a wise and resolute administrator. He fortified the ummah's fort with his leadership. Right? It was his leadership which led to the great victories against the Persians in battles like Qadisiyah, Madain, Jalola, Nahawand, all these battles we discussed. He also conquered the entire Levant, Sham, what we call Sham, and more than that, Egypt also. And the Byzantine Romans. He conquered all of that. Islam entered in most of the lands surrounding the Arabian Peninsula. His Khilafat was an unbeatable barrier against turmoil and tribulation, whose closed gate was Umar radiallahu anhu himself. Like the whole Ummah was in a fort, and the gate is Umar. Umar radiallahu anhu. Anarchists and people trying to foment trouble could not get to the Muslims during his lifetime. Nor could they raise their heads during his reign. Until he was a khalifa, no troublemaker could raise his head. So this all we learn from a hadith, right? Huzaifa radiallahu anh said, Umar radiallahu anh said, who amongst you remembers the statement of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam about the fitan, all the fitnas that are to come? So Huzaifa radiallahu anh said, I know it exactly as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said it. Umar radiallahu anh said to him, no doubt you are bold. In other words, you got courage to say you remember it exactly as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. I then said, a man's afflictions, his wrong deeds, concerning his wife, children, and neighbors, are expiated by his salah, his charity, his doing amr bil ma'roof. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, I didn't mean that. I'm asking about the fitnas, the fitan which will spread like the waves of the sea. I'm not asking about these things. I'm asking about the major fitnas that are going to come, that will spread like the waves of the ocean. So Huzaifa radiallahu anhu replied to Umar now. He said, O Amir al-Mu'minin, you need not be afraid of it. All these fitan that are going to come, you don't have to worry about it. As there is a closed door between you and it. So Umar radiallahu anhu asked, will the door be broken or opened? I replied, no, it will be broken. Umar radiallahu anhu said, if it is broken, then that means it will never be closed again. Once the fitna start, there'll be no end. It'll only get worse and worse and worse. I replied, yes. Then we were afraid to ask what the door was. So we asked Masruq, rahimahullah, to find out. Abu Wa'il is the Tabi. He's saying, now we were frightened to ask Huzaifa Ranaun what the door is. So we told Masruq that you go and ask Huzaifa radiallahu an regarding this door. Huzaifa radiallahu an said the door was Umar. He himself was the door. We further asked Huzaifa radiallahu an whether Umar radiallahu an knew what the door meant. Did he know he was the door? Huzaifa radiallahu anhu replied in the affirmative. Said he knew he was the door. He knew it as one knows that there will be a night before the morning. In other words, he knew very well that he was the door. I narrated a hadith that was free from any misstatement. In other words, what I narrated is correct. There's no mistakes here. We observed that when Huzaifa radiallahu anh presented the information to Umar radiallahu anh that an impregnable door prevents the fitan to flood over the Muslims and that it will be broken and crashed open, then Umar radiallahu anh understood that this means that the door will remain open till Qiyamah. The door of fitnas will be open till Qiyamah. This means that trials and tribulations would remain widespread among the Muslims and they will not be able to eradicate or stop them. Huzaifa radiallahu anh did not state this on his own account, nor was it his own foresight. He did not have knowledge of the unseen. It was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words which he had heard, and he memorized them verbatim, meaning word for word. He memorized what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And that is why he commented that I have narrated a hadith which is free from any mistake. In other words, words which are accurate, true, they do not contain any errors or lies because they belong to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar radiallahu anhu knew the intent of these sacred words, that his khilafat is that impregnable door, and fitan would not come to the Muslims during his reign. Umar radiallahu anhu also knew that he would be murdered and he would meet Allah Ta'ala as a martyr, as a shaheed. That's why he asked, will the door be opened or will it be broken? So that meant the door going to be broken, meaning he will become a shaheed. He will be murdered. He will become a shaheed. You know, this shahadat is such an honor, right? We don't understand the honor of shahadat. You see, in Gaza, the mujahideen that were operating there to hide from their own people also, because their own people became spies for the Jews, as is happening now also. So there was a certain mujahid, he was like the head of the mujahideen, and he used to do some daring things against the Jewish soldiers, right? But he had to be on the run all the time. So they used to have like safe houses, people who love the mujahideen. So the mujahid can go hide in their house, you know, because the army will keep a check on the mujahid's house and arrest him if he comes or kill him. So there was a family, they were like a safe house for the mujahideen, you know. But these Jewish soldiers, somebody spied them. So one day when this mujahid came to the house, they were watching the house, surveillance. So when he came, they surrounded the house. And they announcing for him on the loudspeaker. So he knows these Jews, they got no mercy, you know. They'll blow the whole house up. So he told the people of the house, he said, you all go out. He went away on the roof of the house. He told them, you all go out. And then, as the army started approaching the house, he started shooting at them. He killed some of them. They retreated. They came back again. He shot. He retreated. He continued fighting until eventually they shot him. Right? He fell off the roof. And there was an olive tree. He passed away under that olive tree. So there was a young boy in that house growing up. He saw all this. And this mujahid was like his hero. So when he grew up, this young boy, he was about 17 years of age. So one morning, he came to his mother dressed as a Jewish soldier. Right? Because now he was going to infiltrate the Jewish military barracks. Right? So his mother asked him, what's happening? He said, mother, the day has come. This boy, he used to only eat olives. He shouldn't like to eat other food. The mother is telling him, why are you not eating? He said, no, isn't these olives are from the tree under which that mujahid passed away. So I've got no problem with other food, but I prefer to eat this. So he told his mother, he said, no, the day has come. Now, today I'm fasting. I'll make iftar with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When you read these stories, you think like Sahaba stories you're reading. Obviously Sahaba and another class, right? But so he went. He told his mother, he said, you must keep your phone. This happened now, recent, not very long ago. Already cell phones are already out. We're not talking about old stories. Now recent stories. So he told his mother, you must keep your phone. Because before I go in, I will phone him. Right? So the mother, as soon as he left, the mother went on the musalla. She's making dua to Allah Pak. And he went. When he reached the military barracks, he phoned his mother. He said, that, Mother, Alhamdulillah, I have reached my target. And now I'm going in. So he kept the phone on for his mother to hear the fight. Right? And he went in and he started open fire on the soldiers. You know how many of them he killed, right? Before. Now he knew they're gonna, I mean, there's so many of them inside there, but if he can kill 10, 12, 15, whatever, kill them, right? So he went in there, he killed them, eventually they shot him, and his mother even heard him reading the Shahada. And he passed away. Then there was another person, he was also like, you know, Mujahid. So for months, here he was on the run now, because the Jewish, they were after him. So one day, he phoned his cousin, because he grew up in the house of his aunt, because his father was Shaheed. So he, you know this Yahya Sinwar, this Yahya Sinwar's cousin, this we're talking about. Yahya Sinwar, he was the youngest in the family. He wasn't really involved in the struggle. Like he was in business and he's running this cousin's construction company. So he phoned him. That man phoned this Yahya. And he made salam. Now he was very close with that cousin. Saying, hey, where are you? I didn't see you so long, and you know, need to. So he said, no, I'm busy, and you know how it is. Now, this Yahya was married to this boy's, this Yahya Sinwar's sister, married to his cousin. So, he said, you're not going to come to meet, like your wife, your children. He said, no, inshallah, I'll come. But you give them salams and all that. So this fellow is telling him, you know, it sounds like you're saying a farewell, like, you know. So he's telling him, he says that, you know, we all have to go. He said, I'm taking all my precautions and everything, but last night I had a dream. And he's saying in the dream, I'm seeing the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam written. And he's giving him all the ahadith. These same ahadith which we were discussing with regards to the virtues of Sham in the different programs, about 3-4 of those ahadith. And I saw all these ahadith written. And then, I can't remember whether he said he saw Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam or he heard a voice telling him that your iftar will be with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he's telling this Yahya, telling him, see, this is an invitation nobody can refuse. So this Yahya, after he cut the call, so he ran up to his sister. When he went to his sister is smiling. So he's asking his sister, he's saying, did you speak to him, your husband? Like, you know, because he's thinking maybe he phoned her also, that's why she's smiling. So she said, yes, I spoke to him. But I spoke to him in a dream. And she's just smiling. And after that, they got the news of his shahadat. Yeah. So, the ajeeb thing, this Yahya and his brother. Now, this is their sister, right? So obviously they went to fetch the body and bring the... Now, the body was in pieces because they shot him with a missile from an Apache helicopter. It's pieces of a body. So they gathered whatever they could find and brought home now for janaza and all that. So when they came home, both the brothers, they ran to the sister. But obviously it's her husband, right? And he had two children also. They ran to the sister. They thinking now she'll be like, you know. When they ran to her, she had two AK-47s in either hand. She gave it to me. So now you all carry on. Mm-hmm. He passed away, you all carry on. This is the, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the people of that land, they are the murabitun. They are the real mujahideen. Sometimes we look at them now, they're not wearing kurta, they haven't got beard. Nobody taught them those things. Those things, only Sheikh Ahmad Yasin, he started teaching them. So you'll find these people, like some of the mujahideen, you see like some sunnah on them. Otherwise, a lot of them, they don't know these things. They haven't been taught. But when it comes to their iman and their jazba to give their life for deen, that they are something else. We don't have that kind of courage. That other youngster was telling you all about, the neighbors, when he passed away, the neighbors, they're telling the mother that you knew he's going. Right? And you knew he's not going to come back. He met you and he told you, like, why didn't you stop him? She told them, she said that he, you know, like, I love him. You know, he's my child. I love him more than anything else. But it's worth it to give him for Allah. The mother. Allah Pak, give us that kind of iman. We don't have that kind of iman. So Umar Rilaun also, he knew he will be murdered and he will meet Allah Ta'ala as a shaheed. But he didn't start ducking and running away, leave his khilafat and all that. No. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anh said that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once climbed the mountain of Uhud with Abu Bakr, Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhum. The mountain shook with them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tapped the mountain with his foot and he said, be firm. He said, be firm, O Uhud, for on you there is a prophet, a Siddiq, and two martyrs. In other words, you got this kind of people on you and you're shaking. Stay straight. There's a prophet, a Siddiq, and two martyrs. So Umar knew he's going to be martyred. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته